The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, welcome back to what some call the real start of the year. I hope you've had a good summer, but we are now moving from the summer months to sort of the fall, when whatever that may mean for you in terms of the rhythms of your life. So the most important thing maybe I want to say this morning is welcome, welcome, welcome to each of you. Some of you maybe have been here all summer, and great, we're glad you're still here. Some of you, especially here in Minnesota, I know, travel, you go to cabins and so forth, so the summer months are a little more disruptive. So maybe you were here last spring or winter and you've been away for a while, so welcome back to you. Some of you are maybe coming for the first time, and a very special welcome to each and every one of you. Since this is a time of transition, again, moving from the summer months to the fall, I have been reflecting on that theme of transitions in my own mind, and I found myself thinking about an important transition for me and my family back in 2007, which is our transition here to St. Philip de Deakin. And more specifically, I've actually been reflecting on the very first sermon I ever preached here. You probably remember it well. It's funny, I don't remember sermons I preached a week or two or a month ago, but I do remember, maybe because it was such an important moment in my life, I do remember the first sermon I preached here, in part because it was very simple. I was sort of just introducing myself to the congregation. I was talking about the various congregations I had been a part of and what they meant to me as I grew. And then in what I thought was a brilliant rhetorical flourish at the end, sort of casting our vision to the future, I said, you know, someday, when I have grandchildren, I have no doubt that I'll sit with them and talk about all of the wonderful things that we accomplished here at St. Philip de Deakin. And then I said something like, in the meantime, you know, I look forward with joy and hope and anticipation to the ways that God will continue to help us to reach out, proclaim, and inspire. To be clear, again, this was 2007, so 18 years ago. Our youngest child at that time was 3 years old. This was a really important teaching moment for me in terms of preaching around clarity, because I'll tell you, what I heard people talking about in Fellowship Hall after worship was, wow, I didn't realize our new pastor had grandchildren. He looks too young to have grandchildren. Anyway, so clarity turns out is important. As we gather today, I want to focus our attention, and I think this is appropriate for us to do periodically, on the gift that a place like St. Philip de Deakin is, both to the world and to us. And to focus our attention on that, I'm going to use a word that I use routinely. It's the word actually I use more commonly, more frequently than any other word when I'm talking about this church, and that's the word healthy. I believe deeply that we are a healthy church. You could also use words like vibrant and vital. But I think healthy gets at it, and you could talk about that in lots of ways. And you might say to me in response to hearing that word, well, Pastor Tim, what do you mean by a healthy church? And again, there are lots of ways we could discuss that. This morning, though, I want to play a little thought experiment with you, which is one way of getting at the health of this place, or it said differently, the significance of this place, the importance of this place. And that thought experiment is this, to reflect on, if St. Philip the Deacon did not exist, who would miss us? Okay? And I have two answers to that question. There are probably more than this, but two very important answers. The first answer to who would miss St. Philip the Deacon, I would argue, would be all of the people around the world, in our own community, who are served by the generous support, by the mission of this amazing congregation. One of my favorite quotes about the church comes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've used it before. He says, the church is the church. In other words, the church is doing the work of the church, is acting like the church only when it exists for others. Another English priest, William Temple, said, the church is the only institution in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Okay? So all of the people in the world who are served by this congregation would absolutely miss us. We could talk for a long time about that. In my own tenure of about 18 years, I mean, I could lift up people in Malawi, people in Tanzania, people in India, people in Colombia. I could lift up people around the country who have been served by this congregation during times of natural disaster. I think about people in our own community who have enough to eat because of your generosity. I think about children, and there are always lots of these, surprisingly, in our own school systems, who have warm clothes to wear during the winter months, thanks to you. I think about the people who gather here for groups like AA or Sanctuary of Survivors for folks who are suffering from a death by suicide. I think about the people we serve through mental health outreach, and on and on and on. I hope we try to do a good job of holding up for you all of the ways you impact people around the world and in our community. But I'll just tell you again, there are countless individuals who would miss this community of faith if it didn't exist, who are served by us. Okay, so that's one answer to that question. The second answer I'll lift up to that question, who would miss us if we weren't here, I would suggest, is all of us. One of the mysteries of our faith, or one of the blessings of our faith, is when we are gathered together through the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, of serving others, an amazing thing happens. We discover through that service who God really made us to be. And as a result, we discover meaning and purpose and significance, right? And very importantly, we find ourselves drawn closer to God, and we find ourselves drawn closer to other people in this community. Speaking for myself, I genuinely cannot imagine my life without St. Philip the Deacon. Over the last 18 years, this has not just become a community of faith, it has become a family. And I know for a fact that that is true for many, many, many of you as well. So again, this morning, a simple but really important message, just reminding us of the significance, the importance of this place. I would say to you, if you have been here for a long time or for a while, a part of my message is a reminder to you, don't take St. Philip the Deacon for granted. You know, continue to invest in all kinds of ways in this community, and you will discover that it blesses you in ways you cannot imagine. If you are newer to this community of faith, my prayer for you is that you will discover that all of the things I'm talking about are absolutely true, that here you will find ways that God wants to put you to work, that you'll discover meaning and purpose and significance, and yes, you will discover genuine and true community. Our readings for today, which I'm not spending a lot of time on, obviously, from Deuteronomy and from the Gospel, talk about how we are to choose life, right, and how in the Gospel we're called to take up our cross. Over the next 3 weeks, this is also something we tend to do at St. Philip the Deacon, we're going to talk about some of the basics of our faith, that help us to understand how we do that. How do we choose life? How do we take up our cross? So next week we're going to talk about the gift of the sacrament of communion, this meal that nourishes and sustains us. The week after that, we're going to talk about the sacrament of baptism, where we're named and claimed by a God who loves us, and importantly, a God who then sends us out into the world as God's people to share that love. And then the 3 weeks from today, the last week of this sort of mini-series, we'll talk about the Word of God, about the Bible. One of the things I love about our sanctuary, by the way, and there are many things, is the 24 panels of the stained glass, which we've talked about this before. Those stained glass panels literally recount the narrative of the Bible from beginning to end. And so one of the beautiful parts of that is as we come into this sanctuary, we're reminded that we are enfolded in that story, and we're invited, each and every one of us, to take up our part in it. So I hope you'll come for the next 3 weeks to hear about that. So a reminder, in the interest of clarity, Amy and I still don't have grandchildren. We're closer to that day today than we were 18 years ago, but I'll keep you posted on news there. However, I stand by what I said in that first sermon here, right? I stand by casting my vision to the future. When that day comes, I have no doubt at all, in fact, I feel more convicted of it today than I did 18 years ago, that I will enjoy telling my grandchildren, Trish, doesn't expect that, my grandchildren, shocking, I know, right? I will look forward to telling my own grandchildren wonderful stories of the way this place is and has been a blessing to the world and to me. And until that day, I do look forward with you with joy and anticipation and hope at the wonderful ways that God will continue to use us to reach out, proclaim, and inspire. Let's pray. Good and loving God, we thank you for drawing us together here as your people. We pray that as we gather, you will remind us of the ways you send us back out into the world to be your people and to share your love. And we give thanks also for the ways that by doing that, we are drawn closer to you and to one another. And all of this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.